guy came out shooting. Boom, boom, boom. I feel some hot on my side. I got a hole in my shirt. I'm bleeding. Like, what the? So I get grazed by this bullet. I run in the house. I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I got hit. There was a black cop with blue contacts, bro. There was this dude was darker than me, had blue contacts, and every time he saw me, I could be doing nothing, bro. Like I live three doors away from the corner, so and there was a corner store. So this dude would pull up, and this dude pulled around and said, "Get the fuck off the corner. Next time I see you, I'm gonna put my foot in your." House in West Philadelphia, I didn't realize that we were living in an abandoned house until I got older. And I ran into somebody that I grew up with, and she was like, "Yo, you guys, did you know that house was abandoned?" I was like freaking 8 or 9 years old. I had no clue. So no, I didn't know. Like, I got robbed in broad daylight. This dude, this gun looked big as hell.
My neighborhood, dude.
I don't know where this dude was from, but I knew something was going on. Yo, broad daylight. I don't know. This gun looked big, man. It like this dude had a 45 revolver or something.
Hello and welcome to the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson. On the show today, we have the one and only Keon Smith. He's a friend of mine from work. I'll tell you, this guy has been all over the place. He has a great story. We touch on a bunch of things. He did some acting. He's done, let's say, worked in pharmaceuticals. But his story is an inspiring one. He is an entrepreneur, and he works for a charity called Officially Made. We'll have it linked in the description of this episode. And, I mean, I can't speak enough about this guy. Officially Made, fantastic charity. Everyone should support. We'll have the link in this episode to do so. And his story of literally coming from the bottom to where he is now, it's an inspirational tale that, you know, I think everyone can relate to. And the way he tells it, it's very enjoyable. I really enjoyed this episode. Justin, your thoughts?
I'm head over heels. I have a Band-Aid on my forehead, as you'll see. I flipped over a wheelbarrow. So excited to have him here. He's a good old time, and you'll enjoy the episode.
Some of the things, the stories he was telling, and like the situations that happened with him and his family, it's wild, you know, what he had to deal with, especially as a young man, but that he persevered to get him where he is today. And honestly, we got through a lot of stuff, and there's still a lot more, so hopefully
we got about to 19 years old, I think.
Yeah. So we went through a lot, and it was a lot of fun, but I can't wait to have him back. So without any further ado, this is the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson, and our guest today is the one and only Keon Smith. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle, accompanied today by Jalen Dubb, Justin Richardson, on the show today. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. You might recognize him from such hits as Sucker for Love, The Journey of Herman Stone, Color, Underground King, Myra's Angels, One Night at Dante's, Creed, Swing, and Heart of the Beast. You might also recognize him from serving his community from Officially Made, which will have links in the description of this episode for the website and for the Instagram of Officially Made and how you can support that charity. And you might also recognize him from just being a good dude. He also has an Instagram, Keys to the Game, for his boxing channel. And honestly, dude, I'll tell you, it's rare to meet someone like this, and I'm super excited we can finally get him on the show. Let me introduce the one and only Keon Smith. Keon, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, that was an awesome intro, man. I got to get you to do that all the time when I got somewhere to go. So, but I appreciate you having me, Matt, and hey, Justin, man, as well.
Pleasure to have you, buddy. Pleasure to have you.
It's a good intro. I'll tell you, walk in the restaurant, you're like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr.
Exactly. Hey, man, I'm going to have to pay him to do that.
Hey, I do it for free for you, pal. You know that. But
reigning, defending.
So Keon here, Justin, is he's one of those where he's a safe to work with guy. You know what I mean? He's like, say you're safe to be a human with this guy at work, you know?
You can air your grievances openly without qualms.
Or you can just talk like a normal person. You know what I mean? And you don't have to talk like in office, you know, office vernacular. You can just talk normal and joke and tell funny stories without having, you know, without having to hear, I'm going to go to HR. You know what I mean?
There you go. Exactly.
Even though Keon has reported me to HR 3 times, but it was for separate ordeals.
That's for physical stuff, not talking stuff.
Right. Yeah. Obviously. It's for sling and blow. Okay. That's something he just doesn't tolerate. Just kidding. But either way, so Keon's on the show today. And Keon, we start off the show by asking you what are called the disputed questions. Now, the deal with the disputed questions is thus, is that I'm going to ask you some questions, right? And I have my answers to this, which are usually pretty much always correct, and they are correct. And then Justin has his answers, which are wrong, and you're a terrible person if you agree with Justin, just so you know. That's prerequisite. So,
neutral ground, huh?
No, it's either or. You're going to die on this hill, all right?
Let's go.
First question is, what movie do you think is better, Godfather Part 1 or Godfather Part 2?
Part 2.
That's wrong.
How you started off, Jada? That's how you started off, baby.
I think last week was the first part time two. We had somebody say part one, but then he started describing part two. He was like, yeah, you know, Robert De Niro's in it. It's really good. And I was like, I had part one, but
he literally said he was like, yeah, he's like, part one, you know, Robert De Niro's in it, and they do the origin
show how
story
he
of him back in Italy. And I was like,
oh, no, that's part two.
Part two. Yeah.
No, part two is so good. Honestly, to be fair, the saga, have you not seen the saga? The saga is where they do it. It's everything in chronological order as one,
yeah,
which is
like,
really good.
Take all the scenes and put them in chronological,
chronological order.
So it starts with De Niro, and then
So you don't get the horse in the bed until like halfway. You know?
I think I've only seen that on. I think they used to air it on like TNT back in the day, and it was like 5.5 hours.
Oh yeah. It's one of those things where they're like, "All right, there's no sports." And it's, you know, Christmas is coming up. It's one of those things, you know. But, dude, I miss channel surfing sometimes, you know. I miss a good channel surf. But I can't tell you the last time I've done it. I'll tell you, my in-laws love it. Still
doing
it.
It's nice when TV picks what to put on. Because that is the difference between, like, if you like a show like Seinfeld. Like, if you're flipping through the TV and it's, you know, episode, you know, season 6, episode 13. You're just like, all right, I'm watching it because it's on TV. I would never go to Netflix and select that particular episode. So you have that benefit of,
I'll
like,
tell
TV
you,
picking the episode for you.
You know what's wild now is how important like a thumbnail or a promo poster is. You know what I mean? Because there are shows out there that, like, it genuinely took me like 10 times seeing the thumbnail or the promo poster to be like, all right, I'll give this a shot, and like really enjoying it. You know, as opposed to like, if I was sucked in by the promo poster and thumbnail at first, I would have been hooked right away. You know,
Yeah, it's like certain shows. Somebody's
promotion definitely matters,
dude. Totally, you would know about that, movie star, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, we've all seen the poster for Suckers in Love. Where's
yeah,
it?
Man,
Suckers for Love.
Decent. Sucker for Love. Yeah, Sucker that was with you're familiar with the guy that the comedian Spank Horton, William Spank Horton, runs with Kevin Hart. Tall, dark-skinned guy.
Oh, he kind of looks like Bernie Mac a little bit.
Yep. You know, Kevin Hart has this group of guys he called the Plastic Cup Boys.
Yeah.
That he's bringing up under his umbrella, and he's and that guy Spank Horton is one of them. So he was the lead in that. So I had a role in that film. I was also the associate producer on it.
Nice. Oh, nice, dude. Hell yeah, bro. Yeah. What kind of money you got on the side? I mean, I know where you work, bro. I mean, we work at the same place, and I'm not producing no movies. You know what I mean? But okay, so let's keep it moving then. What do you like better, Cheetos, crunchy or puff?
Crunchy, man. It's easy.
Yeah.
Puff is for girls, man.
Yeah, it's for wimps. For wimps.
It's not for wimps. Cheese balls
literally,
are delicious.
Literally today, I had a girl, someone, you know, you might not know this, Justin, but we have snacks at my office, and I'm the snack guy, you know. Like, if our office, no big deal, if our office was Shawshank, I'd be Morgan Freeman, which, you know, pretty good deal.
Yeah,
but either way, this girl, Corinne, who's you know, kind of a PIA, came up to me and she asked if she if I could help her get snacks. And I asked, "You drug crunchy or puffed?" And she said, "Puffed." And I was like, "Well, it's understandable because you're a woman and you're a wimp, and wimps like puffed." So there you go. So there you go, Justin. Hope you're happy. Even though last week we did get a puffed, so there's that. But let's keep it on moving. Keep it on moving down the road. Who do you like better, Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle?
Chappelle.
Chappelle's batting 1,000 on that one.
Gotta go Chappelle, man.
Okay, minus the Will Smith incident. Are you still going Chappelle?
Still going Chappelle.
Okay.
That's all the, right. That's the normal one.
Oh, yeah. Who do you like better? Okay, go ahead.
Chris Rock, he's cool, man. He's good. But Chappelle, I feel like he has a little more in his arsenal. He gives you more than just... You know, the stand up. He does the movies
skits,
too, man. So
acting.
He got the skits. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Have we not seen Grown Ups 3? Chris Rock was incredible. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's good, man. But,
well, have you seen Chris Rock also did? He did Fargo, a season in Fargo as well.
I did not see that.
Good. It was good. It was good.
It
was
a tough.
It was a rough season because whoever did the casting missed on the casting a little bit, I think, because they set it in a really cool era. It was supposed to be in like the 1950s. And one of the main Italian mobsters who was supposed to be like this, you know, sadistic killer was played by Jason Schwartzman, you know? So it's tough to be like this Italian tough guy mobster is Jason Schwartzman here, you know? Like, I don't know. I just, you know, it's like it was tough to buy.
It's a royal time.
But
casting is important, man. Casting is definitely important.
Yeah,
so speaking of roles, you know, don't forget Chris Rock's iconic role is Pookie, man, New Jack City.
Dude, just gonna say that was a good one. Or he was also great in Pootie Tang. Don't forget Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang. You know, Chris Rock beat out Marlon Wayans for that role of Pookie
in New Jack.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Damn. I could see Marlon doing a good job too.
Uh huh. Oh, you know what? No, I think I got my roles mixed up. Remember, he did. I'm going to get you, sucker, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He did. I'm going to get you, sucker. Yeah. When you put off the white cast,
one
rib, exactly.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, it was that one.
Let me get one rib.
What the hell?
He said, one drink. He said, well, fuck the cup, pour it in my hand for a dime.
who do you like better, Bill Murray or Chevy Chase?
I got to go Bill Murray.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because that's the right answer. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. Speaking, I know we just went over it, but speaking of Pootie Tang, I loved that movie. And I used to quote,
"Tippy ta,
dude, wasadate, tippy ta on the runny kind."
Louis C.K. is one of the writers for that.
Pootie Tang. Louis C.K. wrote Pootie Tang.
Don't quote me on that, but I think.
Okay, I won't quote you. Let's keep it moving then. Do you game? Keon,
say it again.
You game? Are you a gamer?
Nah, man. I just play sports games, man. You know, 2K, Madden, boxing.
Xbox or PlayStation?
Yeah.
If you had to pick
one. Xbox.
Okay. So can I say this without sounding like a jerk? I mean, I'd like to think when it comes to the video game consoles, I feel like black people like PlayStation more. Am I wrong to say that?
No, you're not. Because my son has a PlayStation.
Why do you feel like that's a thing? Right?
Yeah. Does he have a PlayStation or Xbox? Shit, I can't. I think he has an Xbox. I think my son has the Xbox.
I just feel like all my black friends always had PlayStation. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
2001 Pootie Tang, directed by Louis C.K.
Shut the front door!
Directed by, yeah.
Dude! Yeah. Makes it even better. Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving then. Keep it on moving down the road. When it comes to a theme park, or an amusement park, or a water park guy?
I'm not a water park guy. Yeah, I gotta go with the amusement park, man.
Damn right, daddy-o.
Yeah, man.
Don't jinx it, Justin, you turkey-farming son of a gun.
Only women like to walk around wet, man.
Yeah. And again, Justin, you're a woman.
A woman
you like
twice.
Puff Cheetos, and you
like Puff Cheetos and I like
wet.
Water parks, yo.
You're a big old hairy woman. But you are.
I'll walk around a water park with Cheetos.
Oh man,
I'll leave a little trail with Cheeto
puffs
around.
Man.
Oh, man. I think it might be I think it might be a science to his madness though. Yeah,
we Leave a little breadcrumb trail. Yeah.
Think about walking around. Trail. Think about the water park.
I think about it. I went to one over the summer.
I think he's on to something.
I lured them in with the puffy Cheetos.
Oh. If you did free Cheeto puffs at a water park, it'd just be all women. You know what I mean?
They dissolve in the chlorine. It is an uphill battle.
Oh my God. Even thinking about the stuff floating around that wave pool.
The Cheeto puffs dissolve like cotton candy in the pool.
Have you guys seen these Orbeez things? You know the deal with this? The Orbeez?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
The 90s?
No. Orbeez are like these little balls that if you put them in water, they expand. And like they're like the new paintballs now that kids use.
Oh, they use them for the guns you can shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude, those things are
you
wild.
Have one?
All the kids in my neighborhood have them. But I'm not gonna lie, the guns that they're making now, the toy guns, bro, if they were all black,
guns are so cool.
Oh, airsoft guns are crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, if they were all black, everyone would be like, drop the gun. You know what I mean? Like, they look so real.
Yeah. We've been doing that since the 70s. Like, it's, you know, guns got to look real to be cool. But those airsoft guns, they use, like, real clips and everything. Yeah. They have, like, full-blown triggers. Those orb guns, they're automatic.
Yeah. Same. And they're all battery charged. Like, they're all rechargeable by battery.
Have you seen that gun where you stick the nozzle in the water and it'll suck it up? And then it, like, it has, like, a halo, like, reading gauge to tell you how much ammo you have left. It'll be like, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah. It looks like a laser gun. Yeah.
Awesome.
Wild. Yeah. Yeah. Dude. I mean, if you look back at the Nerf guns and the Super Soakers we were dealing with, they were like 10 shots from falling apart. You know what I mean? Now these ones, like, you could take over a small country with.
I mean, at least Ohio.
Dude, I legit was in Walmart yesterday, and I was looking at, because I accidentally broke one of the kids in my neighborhood's Orbeez gun, and I got to buy him, like, a new piece. I felt bad. I was like, he's a nice kid, and I stepped on his gun, stepped on the gun and his, the scope that came, the legit scope that came on the gun. It was like a laser-sighted scope, and I stepped on it, and it broke a little bit, and I was like, ah, shit, I got to buy this kid a new one. But either way, I was in Walmart looking for him, and some of the Nerf guns, like, there was a Nerf sniper rifle that I was like, this is madness.
Have you seen that? That's crazy. Nerf has, like, they're like golf
balls.
Yeah. Like, they have, like, divots, kind of like a golf ball, and they...
Dude, and they, like Nerf pellets used to go out pretty fast. These balls are humming. Like, you're putting holes in drywall with this stuff. They're moving.
That's crazy.
They're moving, babe.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, I got one for my godson, and it was like, and he shot me with it, and I was like, oh.
that's no orange dart with a rubber tip.
Yeah, I was like, well, what's going on here, guys? This thing's supposed to flop out, like, you know? But either way, all right, Keon, next question, probably the most important question you'll ever be asked.
All right.
When it comes to eating wings, are you a drum or are you a flat?
Drums.
Damn right, he's a drum.
There it is, yo.
Gotta go drums.
That's your boy, Matt.
Justin, I hope you're happy.
Let me explain the science. Flats are too difficult. They got two bones, the drum got one. And throw it in trash, man. Just throw it in trash, man.
Pull them apart.
I ain't got to pull nothing apart.
Let me ask you, Justin. Justin, let me ask you this. You get a text message that's life or death while you're eating your flat with your two bones. What are you going to do? You know what I'm going to do with the drum? I'd be like, saved, world saved, done.
Exactly. Done. I still got a free hand with the drum, bro. I still got a free hand.
And I can dip and flip and turn and dip and
exactly
do it all with the drum.
You don't need me for the rest of the show. You agree with
one
everything
hand.
With Matt.
Crazy. Yeah,
you agree.
To have fun. I'm gonna go.
Not gonna lie, you're like you're the second person in a month that's had a clean sweep with me.
Is
just
it?
Saying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Remember?
Really?
Yeah, Brian Peters.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
there's there hasn't been many clean sweeps.
No,
that's crazy.
Yeah, on both sides, there hasn't been many clean sweeps.
Have I ever had I think I've had one clean sweep. And
I think you had one clean sweep. Yeah,
oh, wow.
You know who it was? It was the transgender porn star that will never air. Was a clean sweep for you.
Was it?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
turns out Turns out, while we agreed on everything in the disputed questions, we did not agree on other things later in the episode.
Apparently, we were offensive. Who would have known? But either way, let's keep it on moving. So, all right, I want to talk. So, like we said on the show, Keon Smith today, and I mentioned it in the intro, Keon is, he runs Officially Made, which is a charity organization that he's very much involved in. One of their big sayings is be the change you want to see in the world. And I think they live by that. If you can go to the website for Officially Made, because we'll have a link in the description of this episode. And then in that website, you'll see they have a ton of merchandise that all proceeds go back into supporting the charity. They've had a ton of events that have helped the community as far as, like, you know, a gift bag or a book bag giveaway, face painting with some music. They've done just about everything, man. It's been like, it's a beautiful thing to see, like, all the things that you've been able to do to help build the community. So I want to spend some time on this. What's the deal with Officially Made? How did it come about? And you know, what was your inspiration for this? So let's start. How did Officially Made come to be?
So MADE is actually an acronym for Making a Difference Every Day.
Oh my God. Smack me hard and call me Sally.
So it started, like, me and my cousin was just fooling around with t-shirts. Or, you know, back in the day, everyone was doing t-shirts. And the first shirt that I had was actually called, it said Dream Dreams. And then my second one was MADE. And MADE skyrocketed. It just outshined Dream Dreams. No one even remembered what Dream Dreams was. MADE was... MADE just went crazy. MADE went crazy. And I started MADE, and I always wanted to give back because I came from very humble beginnings, and I always want to give back. And those colors that you see on the site is not by coincidence, like the teal and white. The teal and white represents my mother passed away of cervical cancer when I was 11, and my aunt that raised me, she passed in 2010. She passed of lung cancer. So those two colors actually represent those two women that was a huge part of my upbringing. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So that's how it came about.
Make every day. What was it?
Making a difference. Making a difference.
Make
every
a difference
day.
Every make day, difference you every moron. Day. He said it 2 minutes ago. I mean, you listen. Making a difference every day. You should be make a dumbass every second. That's you. All right. God damn. For all of those watching on our YouTube channel at Working Perspectives Podcast, you can see that Keon is modeling some of the MADE merch right now. Isn't that right, Key?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So this is the splash design, hence the design's called Splash, with the splash hat.
Oh, thank God it's not called Splooge.
So yeah,
no, that stuff looks great, man. You did a great, and you designed that yourself?
So the design, I actually come up with the concept. And then I have some people do the actual design and the artwork and things like that behind it. So
yeah, that's the way you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
When we did merch, I initially came up with the designs and I took it to like a company that did the merch. And they're like, look, we don't think you should print this. And I was like, why not? And they're like, because no one will buy it. And I was like, okay.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's make some changes. And then they came up with the logo that we have in use today. And I love it. So. But nice, dude. That's incredible, man. So you made this t-shirt. See what I did there? You made this t-shirt, right? And it's selling like hotcakes, right? And then you were like, look, I don't need all this, and I want to give back to the community that helped raise me. What is this? Where's this community at?
So MADE actually, I had to shut it down for a few years, and because it got bigger than me. I didn't know how it was going to take off. I was just, you know, had a design. It was four letters, and it just said MADE, and underneath it said Making a Difference Every Day. And this one guy bought a t-shirt or two, and he owned a construction company. He wore it, matched it up with his watch and hat and things like that, and he hit me back like a week later and said, hey, do you sell in bulk? I want to get it for all my guys. I was like, what the hell? Hell no. I'm selling this out of my trunk, man. Like, so that guy made me shut down for a while. And I I said I wasn't coming back until I was prepared. I had a team website. So I got the website. I got the P.O. box. I got its own bank account. I got the, you know, email and all that stuff. And I revamped and I relaunched in 2019. So
it's a good time to do it.
Yep. So I relaunched in 2019. So it's been good since. And we've been giving back to different communities. So we've given back to elementary school kids, middle school kids, the homeless, the men's shelter, also a women's shelter. And it's been good, man. Everyone has been appreciative, and it's a good feeling, man. So, and I just wanted to keep my folks' name alive, you know, my mother and my aunt's name alive, and continue to do good things, man.
Dude, you're doing incredible things, man. And that's, you know, what you're doing is honestly, it's more than most people will ever do in a lifetime. So a big salute to you for doing that and sticking with it. And, you know, you should be very proud of yourself. And I know that Your mom and your aunt are looking down and they're very proud of what you accomplished, man. And you should be very happy with that. So good for you.
It.
Of course,
thanks, man.
Of course. And like I said, in the description of this episode, we'll have a link to the website and we'll have a link to the Instagram. So if you want to follow, and then also there's a place where you can donate and check out, you know, what they've got going on with Officially Made. And dude, it's an incredible thing you're doing. And hey, so dude, I'll tell you one thing, you can't go wrong supporting the youth, man, because they need it. They need it. They just need some direction and some help. And every little bit helps, and you never know like what you'll do that can change one of these little kids' lives. So that's incredible, man.
Very absolutely cool. And a good thing about Made is anyone can wear it from 8 to 80. You know what I mean? It's making a difference every day. So it's not it's not offensive. It's positive. It's a, and we take an all hands on deck approach. One hand wash the other. Both hands wash the face.
I like that.
Represent ahead, your Dustin. Area and like show the support of this great organization plus the shirt school.
Justin is 1000% correct. You should always support your local area and support your neighbors and everything like that. And the merch is pretty cool, man. It is cool. I mean, even nerds like Justin and I could rock it.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Pretty absolutely. Cool, babe.
I want to make a North Wales one. I want to start my own.
North Wales, a difference Wales. Every day.
Yeah.
New Wade. But either way, I want to keep it moving and I want to get to know the man, the myth, the legend that is Keon Smith. So we're going to start from where we start, as always. Keon, where were you born and where did you grow up?
Wow. So I was born in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, and 23rd.
Lovely area.
23rd and Diamond, man. It was crazy.
23rd and Diamond?
It was crazy. That's what I was born in, the projects, man, the high rises before they blew them up and, you know, tore them down, man.
How many of my buddies that went to Temple did you try and rob? How many of them? Huh? What's going on? 23rd and
robbery,
golly.
Robbery wasn't my thing, man, but it was crazy.
You.
Some of my guys, man, you know, I know some people, but it was rough, man. It was rough, man. You can get through that. You can get through anything. But,
brother.
So I relocated. So 23rd and Diamond, that's when my mother was still born. I did a quick little stint in West Philadelphia, like 58th and Locust, then back to North Philadelphia when my mother passed away. So I went back to just a block down and a block over where my aunt raised me at 22nd in Susquehanna. So a block down, block over. And then she had to get a bigger house because when my mother passed away, she took in five of us. So it was five of us total. And she had four of her own.
Dang.
So she eventually got a bigger house. And that's where I spent most of my years, which was 8th and Diamond, which is, you know, Badland area. It's pretty crazy down there, too.
Badlands. So, damn.
Yes, sir.
Home so, yeah, Gabby Rosado, the legend.
So I seen. Oh, yeah. I got pictures with Gabe. Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
And Danny Garcia.
Yeah.
And Bernard Hopkins. I got pictures with all those guys.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
So, okay. So you're growing up in the Badlands and, you know, people from the outside have their ideas of what it is living there, but what is it like from someone who actually grew up there? You know,
it's definitely survival of the fittest. So you have to be strong willed in that area, man, because it'll swallow you up, man.
So you mentioned that there was eventually be nine of you in a household. Where did you fall in that ranking? Are you the oldest? Are you the youngest?
Oh man, so my cousins that my you know, my aunt had four kids, they were all older than me. Okay. But as far as my mother's five kids, I got two sisters that are older. So yeah, I'm the middle. Then I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
But you're the oldest boy.
Yep, oldest boy.
So that means something. You know what I mean? Because my brother isn't the oldest, but he's the oldest boy, and that means a bit.
Yep.
That's a big deal. So
Exactly.
you're the oldest boy, so that means even when your older sisters had some trouble, they would have to call you eventually.
Exactly.
Right? So you had to learn to grow up from a young age then, right?
Yeah, I had to put work and chores and all that before toys, man. That's at a certain point. So
yeah,
I was forced to kind of grow up quickly due to my background. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? How many bathrooms were in this house?
All right, so the bathroom that was on 22nd and Susquehanna, it was a row home with one.
Yeah, row home with one. Okay,
row home
no
with
fun.
One. When we relocated, it was two.
What, two fulls or one and a half?
One and a half.
Okay, so you had one in a powder room, which thank God.
Yeah.
But you had so then the older your cousins, what was boys or girls? The older
so
ones.
So it was two boys and two girls.
Okay. So there's four boys and five girls total in this house.
Yeah.
So you poor sons of guns had to share a bathroom with five girls and your aunt as well.
Yep, exactly.
God bless you. My goodness. You must have been like automatic in there. Just damn.
But look,
in and out.
But now
brush
the thing
teeth,
is,
get done.
It was like a gift and a curse though, because growing up, I had the advantage of knowing women.
Did you ever get the shower alone?
I grew up. I had five boys, and then a mom and a dad in the house, one bathroom. And when you would shower in the morning, someone would be using the toilet. You'd be in the shower. Someone would be using the sink. And it would just be a cycle of that the whole time you were in the shower.
Yeah, so
I like didn't shower alone until I was like 15.
Well, the thing is, it was rough because when I did the stint in West Philadelphia, I was you know Meek Mill's song started from the bottom. Now we're here. So that house in West Philadelphia, I didn't realize that we were living in an abandoned house until I got older. And I ran into somebody that I grew up with. And she was like, yo, you guys, did you know that house was abandoned? I was like freaking 8 or 9 years old. I had no clue. So no, I didn't know.
They couldn't shut the water off, right?
Water was off, bro. I told you I had a rough upbringing, bro. I was fetching water from a driveway in a gallon jug, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Golly. Dude, you must have stank.
Yeah.
So
imagine with no running water, you can't flush the toilet.
Yeah.
It was terrible, man. Yeah. I almost burned the house down one day because I was following my older sister. She used to light a paper towel or a piece of paper and go down into the basement. I tried to use it as a light
to be able to see.
Yeah, we had to use the light to be able to see. Yeah, so she
going through a cave.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Yeah, it was crazy. So I tried to follow her and I lit the kitchen curtain on fire. Like it was like the little curtain in the kitchen, and the fucking house was on fire, bro. It was crazy, man.
They're like, damn, this house is already fucking falling apart. Now you light on fire. Golly.
Yeah, yeah.
This is our house.
Man, it was rough, but when I moved,
this isn't even our house.
Yeah, it was rough, man. So, but when I moved, things started to get better.
Oh, dude, so you went from like squatting in an abandoned house with you and four brothers and sisters and your mom to move going to a house with running water and hot water, and you're like, damn, we made it. We're here. You know.
So as you know, as an adult, I don't complain too much.
That is the good part of that.
Same thing. Like we had when I was a kid, like there was enough hot water for like a shower and a half, and there was five of us.
Yeah.
So your choice was shower, but it's not gonna feel good.
Or you take the quick bird bath at the sink, just wash, you know.
I was talking to someone about this. Yeah. So there'd be one kid peeing in the actual toilet, one kid peeing in the shower, one kid peeing in the sink. Downstairs, one kid peeing in the sub pump, and one kid had to be out back peeing.
It's crazy,
dude. What I mean, it is funny to think, but like you know, the cold shower is brutal, bro. Like looking back on it, I remember at one point though, I got into like really good, like I was gotten to better shape, we'll say, just because like I remember I was like, all right, I got to kind of get a little warm before I go into this thing, because we didn't, like, the house we lived in, we didn't pay, just remembers the Markle Street house. Yeah. We didn't pay for the hot water from like April till November. You know what I mean?
Like, you're like, I don't need it during the summer.
Well, the dude whose job was to pay, like, we all, the problem was, is we all took different things, right? Like, my job was the Pico bill. So I just made sure that the lights were on, right? But the son of a bitch who had the hot water job, he's like, yeah, I'll pay it sometimes. And we were like, dude, you need to pay it more, because this is brutal.
This is important.
You know, yeah. But either way, so, yeah, yeah. But no, the hot water was a thing for sure.
Yeah,
but
we have to heat up the hot water on like a electrical hot plate.
That's what he did. Isn't that what you did, Matt? Yeah. You would like tea kettle it?
Yeah. When I had to shave, what I would do is, because I used to like to work out in the mornings. So I would work out, right? Then when I was going upstairs to go to the shower, I would put water in a tea kettle on the stove to start it. Then I would go upstairs. And the key is, when you're taking a cold shower, is you want to be under the putt. You want to be under the faucet when you turn the water on, because that's the warmest the water's going to be. You know what I mean? So, like, you want to be under there when the water's on. So I was under the faucet when the water turns on, got hit with that, shower real quick with the cold water, then run downstairs, grab the tea kettle, pour it in the sink, and then shave. And then, you know, I'll tell you, not a bad time. The hot, dude, the smoldering hot, like, scald your hot water to shave in, it's pretty nice.
What would, Keon, what would you do with the hot water?
Oh, we used the hot water for a bath or something, man. Like, we had to wash with that.
You like fill the tub up?
We had to fill the tub up to fill it up a few times, or we would put it in put a stopper in the sink in the bathroom and just wash with the hot water.
Okay.
Yeah, just wash. Yeah.
Even when the hot water was gone, I would never get fully in. I would do it like you did with the cold water. Like, I would like scoop it and try and like wash outside.
Yeah,
the water.
Exactly.
I would never get fully in the cold water either.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nope. Dude, I was fully in. Even in like the cold months, like October, November, I was fully in. It was
The
summer, dude, the summer wasn't too bad. You know what I mean?
If, like, you were like,
you
could
live with
practice.
It in the summer. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could live with it in the summer. It was bearable. But when it got cold, I was like, damn, I hope no one walks in. I hope no one's girl walks in, because there's some shrinkage going on. You know what I mean? But it was brutal. But what was haunt? So you're in the abandoned house. We had another guy that had a similar situation on the show, Mickey Batts. And he had talked about the bugs being horrendous in the house he grew up in. Was that a deal when you were in the abandoned house?
Yeah, we had this dirty, filthy ass. It was like this yellow carpet downstairs. And it was just a bunch of little ticks and fleas, whatever you want to call them.
Basically, the outside moved inside.
Flea infested rug. It was horrible.
Dang.
That's horrible.
How long were you in West Philly? How many years?
That I can remember? Probably, I don't know. I'd probably say maybe 3-4 years.
So you went from 23rd and Diamond to West Philly for 3 years, then back to 22nd Susquehanna?
Yep.
Okay. So when you were 23rd and Diamond, you're living in a row home. Then
23rd and Diamond was the high rises.
Okay.
And you got to remember, this is the you know, early 80s, the, you know, crack epidemic, man. You know, so it's wild, man. It's crazy. So you have the high rises. And then my family moved to, I remember that house getting robbed too in the high rises. Then we moved to West Philly. And then we moved to 22nd and Susquehanna.
Are you going to school at this time?
Yeah. Actually, I actually won a bike in elementary school for perfect attendance.
Is it because they got food at school?
Huh? Oh, hell yeah. That was the best part of the day.
They had food at school, right?
That was the best part of the day, man. Shit.
You going in like, oh, man, what do they got today?
Yeah,
that's tough, dude. Yeah. But when you're – so also, wait.
Do you remember? Sorry.
You said what?
What kind of bike was it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It was like a little Huffy.
Nice.
Did you get stolen?
Nah, I didn't get stolen.
Yeah. When you were in the West Philly house, so that means you have to live there through the winter months, too?
Yep.
Golly.
We had the kerosene heaters.
Yeah. Dang. So
that's back when winters were cold.
Sipping gas out of car? Oh, bro. Dude, that's back when you had
today.
3 feet of snow in the winter, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
Real winters.
Yeah, it was definitely rough.
That's some cold nights. So, okay. So you went, so then, dude, when you went back to, you know, when you're back living with your aunt, then you're living it up. Things are going a lot better. And you're, are you really like in your mind, you're thinking to yourself like, look, I got to stay in school. I got to get right. I don't want to end up on, you know, on a corner here or doing this there or whatever. And like really focusing yourself.
Well, I was still young at the time, man. I was, when my mom passed, I was, we was at my aunt's house, and because of the room situation and not having enough room, I moved with my grandmother for a short stint. My grandmother passed 6 months after my mom did.
Golly.
So my mom passed. I moved with my aunt. Then we moved to my grandma's for a short stint because of the room, you know, not enough space situation.
Not enough space. Yeah.
So we moved there, and my grandmother passed 6 months after my mother did. Jeez. So I moved back to my aunt's house.
And she's like, all right, I need more room. And she moved you down to where you at least had a bathroom and a half. And then,
A Street. That's where I became into a man, man.
Man. So then you're living down there, dude. I'll tell you, your aunt must be a strong woman.
Yeah, man. She was, man.
So you talk about your mom, your grandma, and your aunt. Were there any male role models around?
So my aunt had who we call Pop Pop. So she was, I don't know if they was, I don't know, I don't think they were legally married. So yeah, he was around, but he was an army vet. So yeah, okay. he wasn't working, but he was around, but he was cool. Not much of a real father figure. So, but no, not really, man. No, not really.
That's tough.
My father, never knew him. Don't know who he is to this day. I asked my aunt, when I asked her about him, she said, she told me that she thinks she knows who my father is or was. She said, that, you know, her and her sister, you know, my mom used to hang out. And she said, I really resemble this guy that my mother was seeing at the bar. So she said that my father used to work at this bar back in the day in the 70s or 80s, whatever the case may be. So she said, I really resemble this guy. And I said, so what happened?
You ever looked
like,
into it?
She was like, they was never together. They just, you know, they just hooked up with each other.
Yeah. That's so, how Justin came around, too. He never met his dad either.
Same. Yeah, pretty similar.
Except his dad ended up being beaten to death in an alley or something, right?
She knew she was pregnant, and then she went to go tell him. And when she went to go tell him, like, he was like high as shit, and she was like, I ain't gonna tell him.
Happen. So all right, so hey, you never know, you guys could have the same dad. Just
we could be brothers.
Possible.
Could be brothers.
Mine's
out there.
Pudgy white guy from Abington, though. I don't think that's your
father. I saw some pudgy white guy in my pictures, man. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
So, okay. So, let's keep it moving. So, you're growing up now, like you're living with your aunt in a packed house with cousins, and you have some older cousins that are boys. Did you really look up to your older male cousins at this time?
No. So one of them moved out shortly after he went to Job Corps. And then my other cousin, he was in the streets, like, you know, in and out of the streets, you know, he was, you know, doing this hustling thing and stuff like
still
that.
Is?
So no, that was ages
I'll
ago.
Tell you, one thing I'll say is that, you know, being in those situations and being around those people, how good are you at smelling the fucking bullshit? Right. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
I got my doctorate in smelling bullshit, bro.
Dude, how about it, man? You're around that shit long enough, you're like, bro, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, honestly,
I can sniff bullshit from a mile away, man.
Yeah. I've learned, my thing is, though, like, I'll sniff the bullshit, but I'll just let, like, unless they're trying to, like, get over on me, then I'll just let them do their bullshit. I could care less, right? But if they're trying to get over on me, it's like, listen, motherfucker, I know the game you're playing, so shut the fuck, you know what I mean? But other than that, it's like, God damn, dude. There's some people that they think everybody's a mark, and you're like, bro, get the fuck out of here. But whatever. But that's something you learn growing up in those areas. So you're growing up, right? And you said you became a man at 8th Street. So what's going on? What kind of things were you doing that you're like became a man?
So 8th Street, man, that was like, you know, the Badlands area, man. That was with survival of the fittest there. So I'm getting older, man. I'm like 15, you know, and
was it Badlands when you moved in there?
Hell yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. So, I don't know how long it's been Badlands.
I'm gonna give you a story of a friend of mine. This is how I met a friend of mine, right? growing up. So I come out, this house, I live three doors away from the corner. And this dude is my man C. I call him C. His name Charlie, right? So this dude is kicking the phone booth, getting quarters out the phone booth. He's just kicking it. And look, mind you, like, this dude is like 4'11". He's like a short dude, man. So he's like kicking his phone booth, man. And like, quarters are coming out. So I'm like, so I end up helping him. I'm just kicking the phone booth. So
we got a free quarter machine here. All right, let's go.
I'm like, is anything coming out? He's like, sometimes. So I start helping him kick the phone booth. So I'm like, so kicking the phone booth with him. So we ended up becoming friends, man. So that was a memory I never forget, man. So
still friends to this day. Phone booth.
But so growing up, man, everybody's, you know, on the corner hanging out, and you see the older guys. You know, you see the older guys that are, you know, that are hustling, they looking fly, man. You know, they got on, you know, they yeah. got on this and that, and yeah. I'm like, okay, you know who the hustlers, you know who the hustlers are, you know who the players
Coke
are.
Factory, yeah.
It wasn't no Burlington Coke Factory. These dudes wearing like this is back in the day where they're wearing the Guess jeans and the polo,
Fila's and Tommy Hilfiger. Oh yeah,
real stuff, man.
Baby.
Yeah. Yep. So I think I started hustling, man, when I was like 15, bro. So I met this guy. Actually, this guy, he was dating my sister. And this dude, he was the big dog around the way. I'll say that. Okay. I don't want to incriminate nobody. I think he might be locked up right now. But so he was the big dog around the way. So
was he an old head or was he your age?
Yeah, he was an old head, man. He was an old head, man. So
all right, keep going.
So my oldest sister is what? She's like 4 years older than I am. So okay.
Big difference at that age. Big difference. Yeah, if you're exactly. you're 12, they're 16. Big difference.
Exactly. So yeah, he was so if I'm 15, you know, he's like 19, 20 yep. or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Or might be. He might have been older than my sister. I just know
he's starting to get into stuff and driving and doing all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yep, yep. I ended up driving this dude Lexus coupe and all that, man. I think I was like 16. So I'm a street pharmacist at the time. So, you know,
right,
I'm doing my thing, going to school, you know, still going to school. Yep. And you just see and hear a little bit of everything. Man, I didn't see people get robbed. I didn't see people get shot at a dice game. I didn't see the cops shoot my man Zach in the head. Like it's definitely survival of the fittest, man. And like I got robbed in broad daylight. This dude, this gun looked big as hell.
My neighborhood, dude.
I don't know where this dude was from, but I knew something was going on. Yo, broad daylight. I don't know. This gun looked big as shit, man. It like this dude had a .45 revolver or something, man. Like that shit looked like
dirty
it was
hair.
This long back in the day. So this dude and I'm waiting for. So I'm done with my packages and everything. So I got all money in my pocket waiting to re-up. So I'm waiting for this dude. So, you know, waiting for my connect so I can buy, you know, buy some more stuff, man. So
right.
this dude.
Some more pharmacy stuff.
Yeah, some more pharmacy stuff. This dude in the middle of my block in broad daylight, bro. I'm like 16, 17. He said, don't move. And I'm in the street because I'm walking on the sidewalk and they're walking towards me. So I walk in the street and he come in the street and that's when he pull out, don't move. And the dude that he was with is the one that went in my pockets, took everything out. I just walked off after that. Like,
damn. I mean, you're happy to have your life after that. Were you done? Yeah, were you done with the game after that?
No, nah, hell no. So,
money was too good.
So, yeah. I had an episode where this is when they still made glass bottles. Remember the bottle Pepsis and stuff back in the day?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, they still make glass bottles, bottled Snapples and stuff like that. So,
okay, yeah.
So these
Remember
guys,
Sobe, Sobe bottles.
Yeah, man. So okay. there was a situation where these guys were throwing bottles in the poppy store, you know, and in the bodega on the corner. They just throwing bottles, you know, messing with those dudes. I'm on the corner with my cousin, waiting for my cheesesteak. I have nothing to do with it, but I'm laughing because they arguing with the guys in the store.
Yeah.
The guy came out shooting. Boom, boom, boom. I feel some hot shit on my side. I got a hole in my shirt. I'm bleeding. Like, what the? So I get grazed by this bullet. I run in the house. I'm like, yeah, I got hit. I got hit. Luckily, it was just a graze. It didn't go through. But man, I still got the scar on my back till this day.
Yeah,
so I got lucky. I got lucky, man. And
you weren't even doing
me.
You were just hanging on the corner. I'm waiting
for
a
cheesesteak. Yeah, man. I'm like, yo, this
Golly.
Is he come out blasting. So I go in the house and yeah, it was crazy. So my aunt had the home remedies, and she patched me up with the home remedies and all that good stuff. But yeah, man, it was crazy.
What can I ask this? And if you don't want to answer this, Keon, you don't have to. Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you grew up in the Badlands and you did the street pharmaceuticals and all that stuff. What is your opinion on do you have an opinion on the police or the Philadelphia police?
Do I have an opinion on the police? As of now or then?
I mean, both, I guess. What was your opinion then and what is your opinion now? I mean, I know as a homeowner, your opinion might change, but I don't know. I don't know what your opinion is because you've had different, it's on, to be honest, you've had a different scenarios than I have.
Yeah. So you have situations where there's an abuse of power. You have some assholes and some people that are not.
Right.
But those that are not assholes, if you're not speaking up about the asshole that you're with and you allow them to abuse his power, then you're just as bad.
Right.
But they have this, this blue brotherhood where.
Right.
Nothing matters. You know, no one holds they don't hold each other accountable. So that's where it gets. Yeah. That's where the lines get crossed and it gets a little fucked up because you want to respect the ones that, do what they do respectably. And, but you have the one that's next to them that's doing crooked shit. Right. But this guy doesn't say nothing about it. So it's like, how good are you really? You know, so.
Yeah.
Back then, man, there was a black cop with blue contacts, bro. There was this dude was darker than me, had blue contacts, and every time he saw me, I could be doing nothing, bro. Like I live three doors away from the corner, so and there was a corner store. So this dude would pull up, and this dude pulled around and said, "Get the fuck off the corner. Next time I see you, I'm gonna put my foot in your ass." Didn't see me doing anything, selling nothing, no hand to hand transactions. That's just what he spoke. I walked and sat on my step. Right, this dude came over there and said, "Take a walk." I said, "I live here." I ended up with the upper hand then, but he just looked like a jackass because I went in the house. But yeah, you just have dudes that just do shit like just for no particular reason at all, man.
Yeah, they think, I mean, I feel like a lot of the times in a scenario like that, it's the guy, he thinks he has to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the reputation of the area that you're in, where if he had human decency. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be honest, though, that's, it's a two way street because you have to there's a give respect to get respect kind of thing where if he went down there and he was being decent, he was being kind, people try to take him for a ride.
Not necessarily. Those are the guys that you cool with. You dab them up. Those are the cops that you dab up. You respect them. So now the ones that abuse power, those are the ones you find in an empty lot somewhere.
Are you sure? Oh, okay. So. You're saying then, but there's no one on the criminal side that would, if the guy is just, he's not, trying to hamstring anybody, and he's just letting people live their life, and if he doesn't catch you with something, he doesn't catch you with something kind of thing, you're not trying to take that guy for a ride. You're not trying to say, or you're not trying to get one over on that guy.
Right. So, yeah, the dude that keep it real with you, we had a couple of those. He's like, yo, dudes, just do me a favor. Just, get off the corner, take a walk down the street for me. Stuff like that, man.
Yeah. But when he's like, look, when I'm he says, when I'm around, just don't do it. He's like, I know you're going to do it, but just don't do it when I'm around.
That dude that just says, yo, guys, I know you're just hanging out, just shooting the shit, but do me a favor. Just, let's disperse this group. It can be 10, 15 of us on the corner. So it kind of looks bad. And actually, he could be looking out for us in that situation. You know what I mean? So, so he's like, just kind of, take a walk, and then we'll walk and, go to the playground. Playground was down the street. We played ball every day, all day. Yeah. So, those dudes that walk up and start being belligerent and shit like that, those are the ones
they end up in the lot. You're saying, right?
Yeah, man.
Okay. What is your school situation like at this point? If you're doing the street pharmaceuticals, are you still going to school every day? Or no. Okay.
Yep.
And does the food have a lot to do with that?
Not at this time.
Okay.
I'm getting a couple of dollars.
You're making money at school.
Well, with my pharmacy business outside of school.
Okay. Did you have a hustle in school?
Not too much. Not too much because I didn't want it to
just
fool
the
my
normal
academic.
Whatever dice game kind of BS kind of stuff.
A little bit of marijuana, but that was all.
Right. Right. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not even making on that. You're just covering what you're taking in, right?
Well,
like you're just smoking
no.
for free.
Actually didn't smoke, man. Actually,
oh,
it was just yeah.
My
I didn't,
fault for
I didn't
assuming
even,
that.
I didn't even smoke that. Well, let me put it like this. I'll say I smoked for like 6 months and stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't. Yeah,
Justin
you know
did
what I mean?
Too.
Like I wasn't. It wasn't for me. Like I didn't indulge like that. I wasn't, you know, all the way locked in. But everybody else did. So. But
yeah.
But yeah, man, it was cool. It was cool.
All right. So then you're going through school, and when was the point? Was there a breaking point that you said, "All right, I'm done with this street shit, and
yeah.
I want to get clean, go clean"?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah, man, it was a couple things actually. It was the second time I got robbed in broad daylight. The guy just took my hat. It was weird. I had like the Fighting Irish hat on, where with the damn leprechaun on the front.
Yeah, yeah. Notre Dame.
And, yeah,
up.
And he took my hat off. He said, "Yeah, that's you. You robbed my sister. Stay right there." He went around the corner, and I'm staying right there, but he never came back. It was fucking weird.
Why did you stay there?
He took the hat.
No, it was like, I'm like he had a gun, bro. Like, they're like, "Stay right there." I'm like, he never came back. I'm like, okay, it's just a hat, bro. Like, really?
That's funny. What if he like really wanted that hat? And he's like, "Look, I'm gonna get this hat."
That was the weirdest hold up robbery situation I've ever had, bro. It was weird, man. And then what really made me cut out of it, man, it was so I bought a car. Of course, I didn't have my driver's license. So I bought the car, and it had the face out radio, the flip out radio and everything, man.
Oh,
I had a Chevy Citation, bro, with the hatchback. Remember those? I had a Chevy Citation, bro.
You're a walking violation at that point, baby.
Yeah.
The Chevy Citation.
Chevy Citation. So, So somebody stole my car, man. I drove to school. I came out, and I parked on the back block. I was going to William Penn, man. I went to William Penn High School in North Philly, man, across from the historical Freedom Theater and the Blue Horizon, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I parked on the small block. And you ever come out and you know where you parked your car and it's not there? He's like, "Well, maybe I parked on the other side." You walk on the other side, and like, "Well, it's not here." Yo, man, I swear I walked around 2-3 different blocks, and my car was gone, man. My car was stolen. So that was the first time I thought about, you know, leaving the streets alone. I was like, "All right, I'm spending money, I'm losing money. Like, this ain't worth it, man. I can't even call the cops and say they stole my car." Yeah, they're gonna be like, "How you buy this? I have no driver's license, no insurance." So,
oh no.
So
there's a car
that
I'm aware of that is gone.
Right.
It's not my car, but it's like a car I'm interested in to get back. I don't know. Never mind.
I'm just this is just a helpful tip. Just a helpful tip.
If you find it, can you just call me and tell me where it is?
Were you doing any? So okay.
So I
hate like,
it,
right.
I hated losing. So I hated losing money, bro. I was always one of those guys that stayed hustling, and while the other guys went out partying, went to see Little Kim and Foxy Brown and all that. But I was always the guy that stayed hustling, man. I hated losing money, so that killed me when I got my car taken, or stolen.
Okay, so all right, so you're like, so that kind of put the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So
that was the first time. So I quit the streets shortly after, where. I saw these kids, right? They come to the store, and I see them, you know, looking a little raggedy, holes in their shoes and stuff like that. Now, I knew their mom. I knew she was, you know, a crackhead in the area, right?
Yeah. So, okay, so you're in the streets, and so these two kids walk up. They're kind of raggedy, and you knew their mom was on the stuff. What was going on?
So, later on, I seen her. And she was selling like a Sega Genesis or one of the old joints or the Nintendo or something, man. And it just hit me, like, I just saw the kids going to the store with like change, trying to get like penny candy and, you know, stuff like that. So I didn't buy the game, but I knew somebody else would.
Yeah.
So I didn't buy the game, man. So, you know, I was like, "Nah, I don't need it. I'm good." And that hit me like, yo, they out here struggling, and I feel like, you know, I was taken away from. Yeah, it was crazy.
That kid Sega.
Yeah, man. I'm like, yo, she really don't care, man. This is like killing her.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and you also did you know that kid's pain?
Yeah, man. Because I've been there with the whole homeless situation,
right.
man. Like,
right.
Like trying to find out what I'm eating the next day. So. I just had an epiphany or something that day, man. And then, yeah, it was. So I was hustling from the time I was 15 till I was about 21.
Damn. So if we compared your life to The Wire, you started out as Dookie, then you went into Michael, and then you didn't turn into Omar. You went more as like a Marlo Stanfield, and then you just left. You said, I'm done. And then you ended as a Bubbles. You quit the game entirely.
No, I wouldn't say Bubbles, man.
Yeah, it doesn't end well for Bubbles. Bubbles relaxed.
No, Bubbles was a crackhead.
All right. Maybe you weren't a
Bubbles. I quit the game entirely at 21. But even at 21, I was still like 19, 20. That's when I was going to community college. I was boxing, and stuff like that. So, I was still one foot in, one foot out type of deal.
All right. So we are coming towards the top of time. Like I said, Justin, I would love to have you back. You'd be willing to come back on. But before Absolutely. We leave, I do have one last question I want to ask you. Right. So you we talked about it at the top of the show. Officially Made is the website. We'll have a link in the description of this episode for the website and Instagram where you can follow Officially Made. You talked about your time in the streets and your time in the pharmaceuticals, and you talked about how that the young, the lady with the Sega Genesis cartridge and the young family affected you, as well as your time in West Philly living in an abandoned home. Do you ever, does this MADE thing and giving back to your community, does part of it come with some guilt that you have from like your time in the streets and your time in the Badlands? Is there any guilt there, or is it more just you've seen like the dregs and the worst of the worst, and you don't want anyone to live through what you have to live through?
Part of it. Knowing what I did as far as like with the pharmaceutical business and how I grew up, I can relate to those that struggle the same way I did.
Right.
And growing up, like you felt like no one heard you, no one saw you. You felt like no one cared. So I know what that's like, and I want to kind of change that narrative.
Do you ever think too, like that you're right, where it's like the feeling unseen and unheard, right? That's a real thing, and I'm not trying to take away from that. But do you think that should limit you from trying to better yourself and use that as like, so? Because I feel like sometimes people use that as an excuse as why they're not where they want to be, is because, oh, no one sees me, no one hears me kind of thing, where it's like, well, sometimes you just have to work harder to get out of the situation that you're in, right? And that people get like, do you think that that's a thing, or am I wrong for saying that?
With my experience, each individual situation is different because I'm a writer and producer of film as well. So I wrote a script called Full Circle. And not to get off topic really quickly, but
I like it. Keep going.
And it was based on, it was supposed to be based on true events. So I interviewed homeless people and formerly homeless people. They gave me their stories, and not all of them are just bums just sitting on their hands and not doing anything. Something transpired. Sometimes it's a medical problem. Sometimes it's a mental problem. Sometimes it's drug abuse, and it's a case by case basis. And you do have some some occasions where they just won't get off their behind and do anything, because if you got two arms and two working legs, and your mind is right, you're standing out here asking for change, then you could be doing some work for it,
Yeah.
So I see both sides.
I would agree with that. Is that it is situational. Right. Sometimes it's a mental roadblock. Sometimes it's a physical roadblock. I understand that. But like you're saying, if you have the capability to be, to be doing stuff, I'll tell you, I've met some addicts before, and there's some addicts to get their fix. Them sons of bitches will do some work, bro. And they'll come up with some clever things, and they'll figure some stuff out to get their fix. So, you think like you have the ability to do this and figure all this out, you do have the ability to better your situation. And I think that goes across the board, whether you're in poverty because of drugs or in poverty because of the station you're in or whatever it is. Right. That's the thing. Like, there, you, some people do have the power to better their situation and choose not to, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I interviewed this one guy really quickly. I interviewed this one guy that was formerly homeless or still homeless. He's getting back on his feet. He was getting back on his feet when I did this, when I wrote the script. This dude used to work on Wall Street, and he's so stuck in his ways, right? Like even being homeless and getting clothes and stuff from like the Goodwill and thrift shops, he still only wears slacks and a button-up shirt. Like I met this guy on the streets, and he still only wears slacks and a button-up shirt, bro. Like it was crazy. I was like, wow. So, and they still have a sense of pride about them. Yeah, they still have a sense of pride about themselves. It was a guy that your homeless people of yesterday is not those of today. You won't see them walking around pushing a shopping cart. Like they hide their clothes and bags and stuff under a bridge and things like that. Like it's so many different stories I've heard. Like they'll go into a public bathroom like a McDonald's or a hospital and wash. Yeah. They'll wash and change clothes, come back out, and they could be walking right next to you. You never know it.
Wow. I mean, it's, you know, it's a crazy world we're living in, man. That's the truth. That is
this
truth.
This one guy knew where to get food each day of the week. Monday, he went here. Tuesday, he went there. Thursday, he went there. Friday, he went there. It was crazy, man.
He had broken it down to like he knew where to go and everything like that. And like the different, you know, different ways to get over and different. Yeah. Wow. I mean, kind of impressive in a way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Keon, we are coming towards the top of time. Before we get out of here, though, I want Justin to have a chance to ask you some questions. Justin, go ahead. What do you got?
What's your favorite sports league between NFL, NBA, MLB, or NHL?
Oh, excellent question.
If you had to pick one.
I got to go NBA.
So NBA, you have to remove one team from the league. Which team do you pick?
Remove one team from the league. Which one do I pick? Wow.
That's a great question also.
I'm going to get rid of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah. No one
you
needs
get rid of Portland?
Yeah. Dame is no longer there.
You want to bring back the Supersonics?
Seattle Supersonics?
The Supersonics turned into the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I know, but I'm saying there's rumors they're going to try and bring them back, but like you want to bring back
Sean Kemp.
If we could delete the Trailblazers, you want the Supersonics?
Shout out Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf. Yeah, I know, right? Sean Kemp and Gary Payton.
Yeah.
If you could bring them back, I'm all for it.
The glove, baby. Justin, great question. My answers would be, if you're curious, I would love NFL is my number one, right?
Who would you delete in the NFL?
So the thing is, my heart obviously says I'd get rid of the Cowboys, but I don't want to get rid of them because I love to hate them, right? Like, I don't want to get rid of them. I love to hate them. I would like to get rid of the Redskins, though. So, because they just suck.
Well, they already got rid of themselves. They're now the Commanders. So
okay, I would like to get rid of the Commanders just because they're just annoying. Like, they suck all the time, but they still beat us once a year. Like, they suck. They're awful. They're garbage. Even though the quarterback they got now is a good he's a good quarterback. I like him. Howell or whatever. Howell.
Sam Howell. Sam Howell. Yeah.
He's a good he plays, man. He's a good player.
Did they trade him?
Yeah. No.
Sam Howell is gone, and who did they pick up?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, didn't they?
Oh God, they just are so stupid.
They are so fucking stupid.
So fucking good, dude. He is a good quarterback, man.
He's going
to do well. Dude, in the situation he had, he did very well, and he's going to do a lot better wherever he goes.
I was talking to somebody about cross-sport trades. So, like, we could trade Hassan Reddick to, like, San Diego for a closing pitcher for the Phillies. You know what I mean? Like, in that concept, like, you could trade, like, Philadelphia as a unit could trade for different sports.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Hassan Reddick.
That'll be too many moving parts. Too many moving parts on that one, man.
I like that idea, though.
I have plenty more, though, for when you return.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Justin. Excellent job. Excellent. So, all right, we are coming towards the top of time. So before we get out of here, Keon, thank you again for being on. Is there anything you would like to say to your family and friends before we get out of here?
Hey, I want to thank you, Matt. I want to thank J-Dub as well. And I want to thank all your viewers and, of course, all of my supporters, family and friends. I appreciate you. Can't do it without you. Keep making a difference every day. Hashtag
make a difference every day. Love it. Every day.
Once you get a shirt, Matt, you'll become a made man. Yes, sir.
Nice. That's a great one. Because, dude, that's a great slogan for a commercial. Become a made man.
Yes,
Yeah,
sir.
I like that. Nice, dude. Hey, I'm down. I'm down, dude. And like I said, in the description of this episode, we'll have a link to the website. We'll have a link to the social media. So anyone that's interested in following or seeing what Maid's got going on, I highly recommend, even if you don't want to donate, just see what they got going on. It's a great organization, and it's a great thing that they're doing, and it's always good to give back. We need to continue to give back. It's people like Keon that are willing to help and support the give back that are making our world and our community a better place, and these are the kind of things that you need to do. So very good. Absolutely. Justin, what do you got?
_officially.made_@instagram.com. That's where you'll find it. Check it out. Have a good time.
Yep. Appreciate link it. In the description of this episode. Anything else, Justin?
You know, just be good, behave yourself, stay out of trouble. How I fell over like a wheelbarrow. I do medium rare.
Same. Keon?
I could do medium, but like it's risky.
I like medium rare.
I don't want it overcooked.
Keon.
I do no pink. I don't like my steak bleeding.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
So you're going like a mid-well?
Yeah, mid-well. Like not well done, you know, but I like it.
You don't,
no
you don't want a hockey puck, but you want it cooked through.
Right. Like okay. I like it. Might like well I like it no pink.
Yeah, because no sometimes pink. Medium rare is too rare for me, and sometimes medium exactly. is too cooked for me. So, like, it is a...
So you like it medium rare plus?
If I'm at a really nice place, yep. I go medium rare, because I trust it, and I know the meat's good. If I'm at a place, I go medium.
I usually don't get meat at a place. Meat or seafood at a place.
I don't order seafood unless I'm near the sea.
Yeah, I don't do that unless I'm in New Jersey.
If I'm not a 30-minute drive from the ocean, no thank you.
Made that mistake, huh? That Costco salmon got you, did it?
Yeah, turns out salmon. The oysters in Lansdale are not that fresh.
Nice. Well, speaking of sad oysters in Lansdale, this has been another episode of the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson, and our guest today is the one and only Keon Smith. In case you're wondering, you can find all our stuff and all our content on all podcast platforms and YouTube at Working Perspectives Podcast. He also on Instagram at Working Perspectives Podcast. You can join us on Twitter and TikTok at Working P Pod. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email us at workingperspectives@gmail.com. And please like and subscribe so we keep bringing you this sweet, sweet content. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend. Thanks. See you.